Welcome back. Remember, if you bought a house anywhere but Santa Barbara, you didn't pay enough. Someone called in, asked me to repeat the number for the Santa Barbara Beekeepers Rescue Hotline, 699-699, and, repeat it slower, I'm sorry. No, I'm making fun of myself, not you. Thank you for calling in and asking me to do that. Sometimes you do talk too quickly. It's the 805 area code for the Santa Barbara Bee Rescue Hotline, and it's 699-6229. 699-6229. So give them a call and see if they can help you out. Joining me today, Mr. Bruce Douglas, bears a very famous name in town, Santa Barbara, Douglas Hardwood Floors. Am I correct? First of all, welcome back to Radio Real Estate, Bruce.
Welcome, Mark. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Was Grandpa Earl the guy that started the company?
No, that was Artie.
Oh, it was
Grandfather.
Artie. Grandfather.
Earl's dad. My grandfather, yes.
And who was Earl, your father?
My brother was my father, yes.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Stephen Arnold Douglas was my grandfather, and he started the business in 1928.
Oh, I had the year correct.
Yeah.
His name was Stephen Arnold?
Uh-huh.
And so they called him Arnie.
Artie, yeah.
Artie. So I, back in around 1989, called Douglas Hardwood Floors, and your dad, Earl, who has since passed?
Yes, yeah.
Okay.
2000, he passed away.
How old?
69.
Oh, that's not good.
No.
I hope you're wearing a mask when you sprint these floors.
We have all the safety stuff today, so yeah, hopefully.
But you don't wear a mask when you smoke cigarettes. That's the problem.
Oh, no, that's not.
Well, you smoke filtered cigarettes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's all right. That'll that's work. A mask. That works. So I met Earl in 1989, and he came out to this house, and I had just put it on the market, and it was kind of a... You know, it was just a tired old house, but it had these hardwood floors that were also tired. And there was a big hole in the living room, like 2 feet by 2 feet with some plywood. And you just walked in and the seller didn't really have any money to fix up the house. So I asked your dad if he would be willing to refinish the floors and carry it back. And at the time interest rates were kind of high. So he basically, it was like a credit card interest rate. It was kind of high. The seller was thrilled to death, and everybody who walked in the house, all they did was look down and go, wow, what great floors. You know, and they weren't seeing the rest of the house that was quite, tired.
Well, it makes a difference, and they're nice.
It does. It does. So that's my background with Douglas Hardwood Floors, and he was started in 28, and there's actually a street named Douglas, which is pretty impressive.
My grandfather was also a walnut farmer.
Oh, not far from Walnut Lane, where there was a lot of walnut,
right.
And so he was in real estate and he was in hardwood.
Yeah.
So your dad, Artie, started it. Earl continued, and now Bruce continued, and you have a son who very well.
I have
well
a son
might...
Nathan and a brother also.
So okay.
A brother Mark that's in it also, my older brother.
So how come I never get to talk to him? Only you. Where's he at?
I got him working.
So we're talking with Bruce Douglas, owner or co-owner, I guess, of Douglas Hardwood Floors. So there was an article. The reason why I called Bruce, there was an article in the Santa Barbara News Press on January 19th, 2013, written by Keisha Gianni, who writes a design article. And I emailed it to Bruce, and I said, well, let's analyze this article. What's true and what's not true? And she started talking about, so we'll go in order for what she started talking about. She started talking about hardwood, solid hardwood versus engineered. And she was saying, she was really recommending if you have a concrete slab, the prudent choice would be to go for an engineered floor because of moisture situations. Would you give that advice?
She's pretty much spot on with that. Solid floors on concrete, especially glued directly to concrete, you're taking a gamble. You know, that floor won't move on you. And an engineered floor is a lot more stable. And it's just a better way to go. Because you can have major problems with a solid floor on a concrete slab.
With moisture.
Yeah, don't take a whole lot of moisture to move a floor. One percentage point of moisture is 1/16 of an inch movement in one board. So you can imagine if it just one percentage point.
Wow. Did
so
not know
if a
that.
Little bit of moisture from the winter, or your house changes moisture from summer to winter, which most houses do, you could have movement every year in your floor or a curl or cupping problem.
Can you say that on the radio? So I thought it was interesting that she talked about you can actually test the flooring for moisture.
Yes, you can use a calcium chloride test and measure the certain areas of it to find out how many pounds of water vapor you have coming through the slab. And it's a three-day test, 72-hour test, and it lets you know how much vapor is coming through. And if it's over so much, you're supposed to put a moisture barrier down, even with an engineered floor, which is advisable, period.
And a moisture barrier could be plywood or it could be plastic?
It's a elastomeric coating, and some of them come in our glues now. If you want to spend a little more money for the adhesives, they already have it in combined. And they work very well if you buy a good quality one.
Well, it just seems to be the prudent thing to do because you're laying that floor down and you want to just be with it for the next 50 years. You don't ever want to have any problems.
Right. You could actually have no problem 1 year, and 5 years down the road, you could have a moisture issue. And if you didn't put the moisture barrier now, then your floor is going to give you problems down the road. So it's kind of a good insurance for what, you know, it's a little bit expensive to use these glues, but they're not that bad.
And so if you're spending, I mean, I know this is a tough question. I don't know what someone would spend on a, you know, let's say a 1,500 square foot, three bedroom house.
$15,000 probably to put a floor down.
So $15,000, an engineered floor.
Engineered floor in the middle range.
And roughly. And so, what would that? What would it increase to spend a little more?
For a general, just a minor moisture barrier, but which would probably be sufficient, would add probably 25 to 35 cents a foot. You know, on top of a glue that doesn't have.
Are you going to make me do the math on a 1,500 square foot house? $1,500, so it'd be $500.
$500.
About a third of
which is pretty pricey, but I mean, still, you're spending a big investment.
Well, if you're spending $15,000, I don't think spending $500 more.
And then, if you have a major issue, you can still put the floor down on concrete, and there are moisture barriers that'll hold out a lot of water vapor. And then there's also companies that if our glues aren't good enough to hold it out or moisture barriers, you can hire some local waterproofing companies that can really put a lot of coatings down that'll give you, you know, almost any situation.
Really? Because I'm thinking about how you treat, talking with Bruce Douglas from Douglas Hardwood Floors here out in Santa Barbara, kind of a new company, started in 1928. So we don't have too much time for the 100-year anniversary. Would you come back on the air for that?
Sure, if you'd like me to.
if you were both still alive, I don't know.
You never know. I got my son, though.
How about Grandpa? How long did he live?
He lived, I think it was 78. Yeah, 78, I think it was.
Well, that's better.
He was born in 1900, so.
That was better than.
And he was a smoker.
Better than your dad. And your dad?
Yeah, he was a smoker. Yeah, he was a smoker up until about, probably 60-something.
And you're a smoker. I kind of visualize you with a cigarette dangling from your mouth, kind of working on some hardwood floor.
Yeah, I got a bad habit.
Well, I'm sure you don't smoke in people's houses.
Try not to.
So there's her. So I do, before we get into all, we're talking a little technicalities here between, going with engineered floors for people who have slab on grade. People sometimes don't understand what engineered floors are, and sometimes they think of Pergo. Mm-hmm. And I think when Pergo came out, I think a lot of people kind of looked down on Pergo when it came out, and I think it's gotten better.
Oh, yes.
But that's not engineered floors. That's...
That's Formica floor, basically a Formica countertop type material. And
so what's engineered floor?
An engineered floor is just a plywood floor. They made it out of like plywood. It's different layers of material, of a faster growing material, and then or more reasonable, and then they put a really good thick wear layer on top of it generally.
So the base of the floor is a less expensive material,
right?
that's more plentiful.
Mm-hmm.
And then they put on top of that, they adhere on top of that the quality, quote, hardwood floor.
Right. And it can come in all kind of varieties, species and everything. And it can come in different thicknesses. And you want to try to get, there again, the article was spot on about the millimeter thickness on the surface, because especially in a pre-finished line, when they come already finished from the factory, if it's a two or 2.5 millimeter, generally you can't resand those down the road. So you're buying a floor for quite a bit of money anyway, and you're if you're going for a thinner wear layer, You won't be, if you abuse the floor or 20 years use or whatever, you want to resand and refinish it. You really can't on these new floors today. The thinner ones. They're that thin, yes. It's a problem.
And they're making them to save money, or they're places where they really should be applied? Why would they make them?
I think it's just how they machine it, and the stability of it. They're still worried about the stability. Some of the companies that don't make it, because most people in our trade don't do these moisture tests, and they put these floors in areas with a moisture problem. And if it's a thinner wear layer, it shows less movement or no movement. Some of them can actually rot on the slab. They're that stable.
Lovely.
So the thicker that wear layer, you're still going to get some movement if there's a moisture issue.
So I'm not certain I'm understanding. You're saying that if you buy a thin engineered floor, have it installed where you really might not get one sanding out of it, you're saying they're making that because they feel it has a good application in certain
they can get more water, can hit that without movement, and then the manufacturer doesn't get as many calls on his product. Because everybody tries to go back on the manufacturer, and 99.9% of the time, it's not the manufacturer's fault. It's actually the installation is why that floor failed.
Right.
And there you go again, spending the extra money for that moisture, in the glue or extra moisture barrier if you have a major problem is a good advice.
So in my mind, I'm going to put in hardwood floors on a slab on grade. I would want to get the I would want to do the moisture test. I'd want to just slap on as much moisture barrier as I can and get the thickest engineered floor.
Yeah, if you can get around 3 millimeters and up, they make them as high as as thick as you want if you have them custom milled. But generally, a good wear layer that you can get is 3 millimeter and more.
Talking with Bruce Douglas, Douglas Hardwood Floors, Mark Schneiman's Radio Real Estate, RadioRealEstate.com, 452-2428. If you have a hardwood floor question, one of the things that was interesting, we're discussing an article, Santa Barbara News Press, from January 19th, 2013, by a gal named Keisha Gianni. And she was talking about, people think they want to get solid hardwood floors because they're so thick and you can get 3 sandings. But then she was talking about how you can't really, the overall thickness might be thicker, but the floor itself. So when you were mentioning you get a 3 millimeter engineered floor, will you get a thicker floor from a solid hardwood floor? I mean, you get more.
You get a little bit, but you can actually, there's the millimeter thickness on most engineered floors is thinner than a solid, but you can get some of them that have, 4 or 5 millimeter, which is the same amount of wear layer. There's about 4 millimeters on it, I think, on a solid 3/4 inch solid hardwood floor.
Right. She was pointing out that even though you get a 3/4 inch hardwood floor, you're not going to be able to sand down a 3/4 inch.
No, once you get to the tongue and groove, you're gone.
Well, I think, when Pergo came out, I think it gave people, became very skeptical and of something when they came out with these engineered floors. And I walk into homes and I see these engineered floors and they're just beautiful.
Yeah, the new generation have their sawn varieties. There's actually a peeled variety engineered wood floor where they peel it off on the outside of a log like plywood. And it has a little bit of a funny grain. And that's what they used to, what's when they started off trying to put wood on a concrete slab. And it has a funnier look. It has a real grainy look. And some people object to it. With a new generation of engineered floors are actually sawn, like a regular solid hardwood floor. So even I can't tell the difference. I have to really look to see if that is an engineered floor or not.
No kidding. Can you get engineered floors that look like the thin oak floors from the 1920s, that old-fashioned look?
You can get down to about 2 1/4 board, and you can have it custom made, but that's a little pricey. You can get down to 1.5 inches if you want
to. But standard, you can get
2 1/4 inch widths. Yes,
that's pretty.
Match
that's
it,
pretty,
or threes or fours or any width you want.
Yeah. I like that, and I like the idea of the moisture barriers. It was reminding me of when you're doing, concrete walls where part of your property is under grade, and you dig that out and you treat those. You just moisture is it's all always about water, no matter what you're doing. You mentioned something very interesting about. Well, I'm going to write this down. What was that thing about 1% of moisture?
Is about 1/16 of an inch, 30 seconds to 1/16. I'm forgetting the actual number on it. But it 1% of moisture will swell wood. So if you have a 5-inch board, let's say, a solid 5-inch solid piece of oak, and you put that in water and it's completely saturated, it can measure as far as 5 1/4 inches.
What you don't have anything to do with tiles. You don't put down tile flooring, or you just do hardwood?
No, I just do wood. We specialize in just wood.
Because
and a little pergo or laminate.
A client of mine has a house, and a crack goes like across this tile floor, and the house was built in 2005 mm-hmm. or 2006. Mm-hmm. And this crack goes from like one end of the room to another a long way, and it's very, very thin. On one point, it's maybe an eighth of an inch. It's pretty noticeable, mm-hmm. you know? And, you know, I guess it's just the same as moisture, right?
Well, our slabs are put on adobe or, you know, soil, and there's a lot of movement.
So it could
from
be.
From summer to winter. So it could be that it's a dry time of year, it shrank, and the house can move for 16 years. So it's about average for a house to move. So you can have movement in any house. And some houses move from season to season.
Right. We have some of those homes where you have your door latches. You got summer and winter, and you just kind of keep moving the door latch back.
Some of our soils are very, very expansive in this town, up to 7 inches. You can access 7 inches of movement from summer to winter. If it gets wet and then dries out.
Right.
So in those areas, I know the building department has made thicker slabs, you know, and different applications to keep the houses from moving as much.
Trying to fight that.
Yes.
To fight that. Talking with Hardwood Floors expert, longtime Santa Barbarian, Bruce Douglas, Douglas Hardwood Floors. We're going down through this. She made one funny comment that, and we talked about the test that you can test for a slab, and she was talking about the subflooring. This is one thing she didn't really discuss that you brought up. When you talk about moisture barriers, she was basically saying you could have a plywood subfloor installed on top of your slab,
mm-hmm.
and you were mentioning other options of glues and treatment, which would be thinner.
Right. It's an application for a floating application. So what you do is you put a moisture barrier down underneath the plywood, and you can either shoot the plywood down, or it can be a floating. You know, with you can actually go a layer of tar, a layer of 15-pound roofing paper, and a layer of tar, and then come back and shoot a layer of plywood down. And then nail the floor to that.
Now, how much thickness is that going to add?
But you're talking about an inch and a half with a solid wood floor. That's pretty thick, and most houses can't handle that.
It's going to add an inch and a half, including the new floor?
No, that would be total height.
Total height. So yeah. What would it add? It would add a half inch.
Well, you're going to add. You have to have at least 5/8 of an inch to nail to. So I like to go 3/4 because the plywood's so not made as well as it used to be.
That's significant. So her comment was, try to avoid this. Try to avoid this if possible. It will boost the cost. It'll boost the cost of the project, but the height
She'll
of
have
the
a
floor
height
is resulting in the need to reduce the height of your doors.
Mm-hmm.
Reduce the height of your doors so they can still be open. And I'm saying to you, you're not going to reduce the height of your doors. Your doors are still going to be the same height.
Well,
they're going to be shorter on the bottom.
Right. She's saying if the floor got too thick, you'd have to cut your doors off to make them work.
Right. But you're not really reducing the height of your doors. Essentially, you're reducing the height of your ceiling because you're making your floors higher.
Right.
Anyway, so maybe I could write a letter to the editor and ask her about that. So what percentage of either your business or what do you think is going on in Santa Barbara, California, people electing to choose engineered floors versus hardwood? I mean,
we always try to get them to go in engineered floor, especially on concrete, so they don't have these height problems.
And then, and then the installation, it's already milled, so when you put it in, you don't have to sand it.
Some of them, yes, but you can sand also if you want. You can get
Upon
installation, you can get an engineered floor that you can sand and finish and get custom colors if you want and get a real smooth look. Because if you generally, most pre-finished floors come with a bevel, and some people really like the bevel that goes around each board, and some people don't.
Oh, and that's because they have to bevel them to make them in order to produce them, mass produce them.
It's just a little easier for them because they don't have to have a special equipment. That's a different issue.
As amazing as this sounds, Bruce, I actually enjoy talking about this. Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate, RadioRealEstate.com. I'm not finished. I have some questions. I want to talk about some trends, what's selling. I want to talk to, I almost called you Earl. I want to talk to Bruce about that property we looked at together, that sunlight, and how you might as well just keep, you got to be careful about sunlight on floors. This is an unusual situation, but we'll talk about that. Trends, And well, what if you painted your floor? What do you do then? Do you call Bruce or do you call somebody else? Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate, radiorealestate.com, 452-2428. Stay tuned. You'll be right back.